We're going to start a new series this morning, 1 Corinthians, Paul's first letter to the Kehillah, the congregation in the city of Corinth. This is what we're going to cover this morning, the introduction to this letter. Paul and Sosthenes introduce themselves at the beginning of this letter. They identify the ones to whom they are writing, the Corinthians. A prayer for grace and peace, their commendation of the Corinthians, an assurance of God's commitment to them to keep them firm so that they would be blameless when Messiah returns. Those are the main subjects for this morning. This letter was written by one of the greatest men who ever lived. Paul was a great rabbi, an outstanding evangelist, a tremendous author, a prophet, an apostle, one of God's very special representatives. And Paul was not just any apostle, he was the apostle to the Gentiles, the one entrusted to reach the peoples other than the people of Israel, and teach the nations and help them apply the truth about the Jewish Messiah to their cultures. The Lord used Paul to write a good portion of the New Testament, which, along with the Tanakh, is the greatest book ever written. Paul was one of the greatest men who ever lived. What an amazing life he lived. What an amazing man he was. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians was written about 55 AD, while Messiah's community was still in its early stage of development and growth. This letter was written from the city of Ephesus. It was written to Messiah's community in Corinth. Corinth was a port city in Achaia, Greece. It was a prosperous commercial center, and Corinth was also known for being a center of sexual immorality, much like many parts of the United States are today. Paul started this community on his second missionary journey. After arriving in Corinth, he met Aquila and his wife Priscilla. Aquila was a Messianic Jew. Priscilla probably was also. Paul lived with them, he worked with them, and he taught at the synagogue in Corinth until opposition from the Jewish community forced Paul to move right next door to the house of Titius Justus. Paul stayed in Corinth, reaching out, doing evangelism, doing teaching for a year and a half. That was a long time. During that time, Crispus, the leader of the synagogue, and all his household believed in the Lord. And many Corinthians came to faith in Messiah. Paul had a very fruitful ministry in Corinth. When Paul wrote this letter, Messiah's community in Corinth was young. It was only about 5 years old. It was made up of Jewish people and Gentiles, peoples from other nations. It was a community that was experiencing challenges. There were divisions within the community. There was a very serious situation with a man involved in gross immorality that needed to be addressed. This was a community that had a lot of questions. And so Paul will respond to their questions throughout this book. After leaving Corinth, Paul wrote a letter to the Corinthians. That letter has been lost. The community wrote Paul a letter, and this letter is his response. He deals with the problem of division, he deals with the issue of immorality, and he answers their questions. Chapter 1, verse 1, Paul, called to be an apostle of Messiah Yeshua by the will of God, and our brother Sosthenes. An apostle is an emissary, a representative, someone sent to represent someone else. Paul is a representative of Messiah Yeshua. He was sent by God to represent Messiah Yeshua. Paul was not a self-appointed apostle like some people claim to be today. Paul was called to be an apostle. God the Father gave Paul his position as an apostle. Paul called to be an apostle of Messiah Yeshua. Paul's apostleship did not originate from Paul's will. God the Father was the one who willed Paul, who wanted Paul to be an apostle. Paul called to be an apostle of Messiah Yeshua by the will of God. And God's will, what God wants, must be respected. As a called by God representative of Messiah Yeshua, Paul has the highest spiritual authority. He and his writings are to be respected. He and his writings are to be honored and obeyed. Amen. Paul was not the sole author of this letter. Someone else was involved in its writing. Paul, called to be an apostle of Messiah Yeshua by the will of God, and our brother Sosthenes. This letter was co-authored by Sosthenes, who was very possibly the Sosthenes mentioned by Luke in Acts chapter 18. According to that divinely inspired history, Paul had been accused by the Jewish people of Corinth of being a false teacher. He appeared before Gallio, the Roman authority of that area, to face his accusers. However, when Gallio dismissed the case entirely, stating that the accusations against Paul were a matter of Jewish law and therefore not under his jurisdiction, the Jewish crowd, who were very unhappy with Gallio's decision, beat a man named Sosthenes, who was the leader of the synagogue. If this was the same Sosthenes, this is another Jewish leader in Corinth who became a messianic Jewish believer. And that seems likely. In this letter, sometimes Paul and Sosthenes write together using the first person plural, we, us, our. However, in most of the letter, Paul takes over and uses the first person singular, I, me, my. We know who wrote this letter. Next, we are told to whom this letter was written. To the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Messiah Yeshua, and called to be his holy people. Together with all those everywhere who call on the name of the Lord Yeshua the Messiah, their Lord and ours. To the church. The church is a community of individuals who are called out of a dying world. It's a community of individuals who are called to belong to the three-in-one God. It's the church of God. It was created by God. It was redeemed by God. It belongs to God. It is exceedingly precious to God, to the church of God in Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Messiah Yeshua. The church is a community of people who are sanctified in Messiah Yeshua. Human beings who are not in Messiah Yeshua, who are not united to the Son of God, that's what it means to be in Messiah. Human beings who are not joined to Yeshua are not sanctified. They're not holy. They are not set apart from a unholy, dying world. Only those who are in Messiah Yeshua, joined to Yeshua, are sanctified, set apart for God's special purposes to live forever with the eternal God. The only way to be sanctified is to be in Messiah Yeshua, to be joined to the Son of God who is joined to God the Father. That only happens when we have faith, when we know who Yeshua is and become loyal to him and to his Father. The church is a community of people who are sanctified in Messiah Yeshua. The church is a community of people who are sanctified in Messiah Yeshua and called to be his holy people. We are called, we are invited to be Messiah's holy people. That's who we are if we are joined to Messiah Yeshua. Right now, we are his holy people. Those who are called to be Messiah's holy people are expected to live like Messiah's holy people, not just later when we get to heaven, but right now. Is that you? The rabbi and Sosthenes remind Messiah's followers in Corinth that they are not the only ones who are sanctified in Messiah Yeshua and called to be Messiah's holy people. They are part of a much larger community. To the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Messiah Yeshua and called to be his holy people, together with all those everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Yeshua the Messiah, their Lord and ours. Paul and Sosthenes reminded the Corinthians that there were many others in many other places, everywhere, who also called on the name of the Lord Yeshua the Messiah. Called on him in the sense of confessing that they believed that Yeshua is the risen Messiah and living Lord. Many others in many other places, everywhere. And Paul and Sosthenes, of course, confessed the same thing. Yeshua was their Lord, the Lord of the believers in Corinth and the Lord of people everywhere, and our Lord and ours, the Lord of Paul, the Lord of Sosthenes. It's encouraging to know that there are many others throughout the world who share our faith in our Lord Yeshua the Messiah. When I look at our little Shema congregation and I consider some of our struggles, some of our challenges, some of our problems. Or when I think about the way the evangelical church in the United States and in Europe is shrinking, I can get discouraged. But when I think about the hundreds of millions of people in China, Korea, Africa, Mexico, Central and South America, who in the past 50 years have been calling on the name of our Lord Yeshua the Messiah, I get encouraged. I get excited. My enthusiasm for the Lord and for evangelism gets renewed. Next comes a prayer from the rabbi and Sosthenes, one of my very favorite kinds of prayers, one that is short and sweet. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Yeshua the Messiah. Grace is something good that happens that is unmerited, undeserved, unearned. The truth is that we are sinners who deserve punishment. But God's nature is gracious. He does not give us what we deserve. Instead, he gives us what we don't deserve. He gives us good things. He gives us grace. Along with grace, the rabbi prays that they would receive peace. Peace is wholeness. Peace is completeness. Peace is well-being. Since we are very damaged, broken, fractured, since we lack wholeness, since we lack integrity, we are in the most desperate need of peace. What great beneficial things, things that we so desperately need, grace and peace, that the rabbi prays for in a short and sweet way. Let's learn from Paul and pray frequently for our fellow Messianic Jews and Christians everywhere that God the Father, that Messiah Yeshua the Son, would bless them with grace and peace. Note well that Paul asks two separate, distinct persons, God the Father and the Lord Yeshua the Messiah, to give the people who belong to them grace and peace. The Father is a person with mind, with emotion, with will. The Son is a person with mind, with emotion, with will. The Father is a person who is distinct from the Son. The Son is a person who is distinct from the Father. The Son is not a mode or a way that God reveals himself. The Father is not a mode or a way that God manifests himself. The Father is a person. He always was a person. The Son is a person. He always was a person. The Father is a person and was always a person. The Son is a person and was always a person in the position of Son to his Father from all eternity. The teaching that there is one God who manifests himself in three ways, three modes, is not three persons, is an old heresy called modalism, mode. Not a person, but God manifesting himself in a way, in a mode. God the Father, the Lord Yeshua the Messiah, the Holy Spirit, are not three modes or manifestations or the ways that the one God expresses himself, but three persons. As the old hymn says, God in three persons, blessed Trinity. Any so-called spiritual leader who does not strongly support one God in three persons should be avoided. And there are those who do not strongly support God in three persons. The Father and the Son are united in nature. They share the same divine nature. They share the same divine spirit. They're also united in purpose. And one of their purposes is to give their people grace and peace. The Father and the Son work together in perfect unity to bring their people grace and peace. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Yeshua the Messiah. The Father and the Son are full of grace and peace. The Father and the Son want to bless their people with grace and peace. The Father and the Son are able to bless their people with grace and peace. You want grace? You want peace? You want good things to happen to you that you don't deserve? You want to know that in spite of all your circumstances, which may be very difficult, you have peace, peace with God? That you know that no matter what happens, it is well with your soul? Then you need to belong to the Father, and you need to belong to the Son. You need to be part of their holy people. That only happens when you enter into a relationship with God on His terms. You become part of God's set-apart people by understanding that God the Father is real, that Yeshua is the Messiah and the Son of God and the risen Lord and Savior, that He came into this world through the Incarnation, that He lived a perfect life. He died a very special atoning death. He rose from the dead. He's alive now. He has ascended. He is exalted. He is powerful. Then you make a very serious commitment to serve the Father and the Son, to be loyal, faithful, obedient. The Father and the Son then send their Spirit to you, who lives with you and begins the work of transforming you from within. Later in this letter, Paul will correct the Corinthians. Before he corrects them, first he commends them. I've learned over the years that when I need to correct someone, it helps if I first commend that person for some of the good things that I know he is doing. That communicates that I appreciate him, and I support him, and I am not his enemy. Commendation helps soften the blow of correction. The rabbi does the same thing here. He starts off with a nice commendation. I always thank my God for you because of his grace given you in Messiah Yeshua. Very nice, very positive. Paul thanked God for the Corinthians because they were joined to Yeshua. They were in Messiah Yeshua, and God had graced them in many ways. For in him, joined to Yeshua, you have been enriched in every way, with all kinds of speech and with all knowledge. United to Messiah, they had been enriched. We're not talking about some prosperity teaching enrichment. They had been in spirit, they had been spiritually enriched. They had been enriched in every way, especially with spiritual knowledge and the ability to effectively communicate that knowledge to themselves and to others. You've been enriched in every way with all kinds of speech and with all knowledge. Paul had told others about the community in Corinth, that their faith was genuine, that they were growing in their knowledge about God and their ability to communicate that knowledge to others. Now he is able to write that what he had told others about them was true. God thus confirming our testimony about Messiah among you. How reassuring for Paul, who started this community and who had invested a year and a half of his life into this community, to be able to confirm that what he had told others about them was true. Again, Paul commends them. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Yeshua the Messiah to be revealed. The rabbi communicated that he knows that they had been graced with many spiritual gifts, and along with their many spiritual gifts, he lets them know that he knew that their hearts were in the right place. They were eagerly waiting for the Lord Yeshua to be revealed. Those who are eagerly waiting for the Messiah to be revealed, to appear, to return to earth, are not engaging in sinful activities. They're not allowing themselves to get caught up in a wicked world, caught up with money and materialism and worldly living. Those who are eagerly waiting for our Lord Yeshua the Messiah to be revealed are keeping themselves holy. They are serving the Lord. They are building up Messiah's community. They're proclaiming the good news. You do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Yeshua the Messiah to be revealed. Very nice commendation. Paul assures them that they were firm, and God would keep them firm until the time Messiah was revealed, with the result that they would be blameless. He will also keep you firm to the end, so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Yeshua, the Messiah. It's very comforting, very reassuring to know that God knows how to make us firm and keep us firm, to keep us safe, solid, stable, to protect us from all evil, so that in the very special day when Messiah returns, we will still be firm and we will be blameless. Human beings are not blameless. In fact, humanity is quite the opposite. We are born into a world full of blame. Sin and guilt and blame are part of us. How wonderful to know that a time is coming when those who are united to Messiah will be blameless, guiltless, free from even the taint of sin. How wonderful to know that God is able to make us firm, keep us firm until we are blameless on the day that Messiah is revealed, or on the day that we meet Messiah, because we finished our life. This promise to make Christians, to make Messianic Jews firm and keep them firm until they are with Messiah and blameless is a great promise. And it is connected to God's faithfulness. God is faithful, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Messiah Yeshua, our Lord. How wonderful to know that God is faithful, and his faithfulness is working to keep us firm so that we will be blameless when we meet Messiah. God is faithful, who has called you into fellowship. Thank you. God is faithful, who has called you into fellowship with his Son. The same God who is faithful is the same God who has called us into fellowship with his Son. There are various kinds of fellowships based on various common interests, various shared values, shared interests. What we have is the greatest fellowship of them all. We have a fellowship between human beings and God the Father and the Son of God. It is a fellowship of shared life, shared values, shared goals, shared purposes, shared future, shared inheritance, shared blessedness. We have the greatest fellowship of them all. God is faithful, who has called you into fellowship with his Son. God has called you into fellowship with his Son. You have not called yourself into fellowship with his Son. God is the initiator of salvation, not you, not me. We do not call ourselves into fellowship with God's Son, into this wonderful sharing and communion we enjoy with Messiah Yeshua our Lord. God the Father is the one who calls us into fellowship with his Son. If God did not call us, if God did not invite us, if God did not draw us, woo us, reveal truth to us, we would never enter into the amazing fellowship we have with his Son, the Lord Yeshua, the Messiah. God is the initiator of salvation, not you, not me. God is faithful, who has called you into fellowship with his Son. God the Father, who calls human beings into fellowship with his Son, is faithful. He can be counted on to keep those human beings he has called into fellowship with his Son in fellowship with his Son. He can be relied on to bring them safely to the goal of eternal fellowship with his Son. If God has called you into fellowship with his Son, you can count on him, you can rely on him to keep you in fellowship with his Son now and forever. Let's pray.